are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January the 15th, and Troy Weaver with some bars today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I just finished the bottle of Maker's Mark. Your boy Matt left here, and he is just finding out about that.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we got Fridays with Brian. Today, Troy Weaver drops the quote of the young season. Brother Brian and I are going to discuss that. Also, the James Harden trade, the big news of the NBA week. Brother Brian's also going to tell us about the details of a pair of games this weekend against the Miami Heat down in South Beach, as well as the college game to watch if you're invested in the Pistons' future this weekend as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give Brother Brian a follow at bshook12 if you dare, and also @Play_Michigan on Twitter for the PlayMichigan.com Twitter account. News coming fast and furious on the sports gambling front these days, so check us out there. Brother Brian, how's it going?
Well, after the little bit of that Maker's Mark that I just had, that's going pretty well this evening on a late Thursday night that we're recording this. Feeling pretty good.
And a big Thursday for the Detroit sports scene, as it's nice to hear Ken and Mick on Fox Sports Detroit tonight and the old rhythms of the hockey season starting with the Carolina Hurricanes in town, a 3-0 loss for the Red Wings there. The Detroit Lions have a new executive vice president / general manager in Brad Holmes. They missed out on Robert Salah, who went to the Jets. And I'm getting the Woj alerts kind of as we speak tonight that Yusuf Nurkic of the Portland Trailblazers, broken right wrist. Ooh. So he is out for some time there for Portland. And Eli on Twitter says, do they want Mason Plumlee? So let's get the trade going, sending Plumlee back to Portland if he can get some value for him. But a lot going on in the Detroit sports world. But still, even on a non-game day, because the Pistons were supposed to play tonight against the Washington Wizards, that game is postponed, so they will not play that one. Troy Weaver manages to get the Pistons in the headlines, though, as he did a little media availability. I'm not quite sure why there was this media availability. Of course, we want as much as possible. But Troy Weaver, asked about his aggressive approach to building the Pistons, says, "When I was growing up, I didn't stick my toe in the pool. I jumped in. I sat at the front of the roller coaster with my hands up. I'm not going to come in and be gun shy. My clip will be empty." End quote. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, that quote escalated quickly. I have both dipped my toe in. I have jumped into lakes. I have sat at the front of roller coasters. I have not emptied my clip at any point. And I have been shooting at the range a couple times. But my thoughts on Troy Weaver saying these things is that he is, A, reacting to an offseason that it has left a lot of Pistons fans, you know, excited for winning the back, you know, I know I'm using kind of a New York term for Detroit, but you're winning the back pages for the franchise during the off season. You're walking into a day where the NHL season's starting and coming off a mammoth NBA trade, mm-hmm. and the Lions hiring a general manager. I don't know if it was something about securing a place on the back pages by making such an incendiary quote. I'm glad that the person running the front office with the, you know, with the Pistons finds it appropriate to not only acknowledge the aggressiveness of his previous offseason, but also, I think more importantly, set the tone for what his tenure in Detroit will look like.
Yeah, he wants his team to be aggressive on the mm-hmm. floor. I think that's something that we've noticed too. I think there's a couple things going on here, and I don't want to play armchair psychologist too much on it, but I'm sure that Troy Weaver heard the criticisms nationally about his offseason. Maybe he's a Locked On Pistons listener as well. What's going on, Troy? Welcome to Detroit. And maybe he wasn't too – of course, I'm kidding. I'm sure he doesn't listen to the podcast. But, yes, I'm sure he realizes that the Pistons in some regards were the butt of jokes a little bit this offseason. And I know that there is the fan base that loves and myself too, and I know you kind of feel the same way as well, that you love the culture change. You love the moves that they were willing to be aggressive and make those moves. But – I wonder if he's also kind of feeling himself a little bit with Jeremy Grant, rightfully so, obviously, to some extent, that move was panned by, again, myself, but to a larger extent, the national media. I think John Hollinger said that was the worst value signing of the offseason, and that Jeremy Grant is looking like a 26-year-old who's got bigger thing, you know, 11 games into the season, a borderline all-star, a guy that's going to deserve all-star consideration, and he's 26 years old and he's a two-way guy and he's got kind of the tools you want to be in some other areas that can obviously improve when thinking about the playmaking and the passing too. So that's a good place to be for a 26-year-old, and I know that $20 million is a lot of money, and that's what you want to pay your second best player on most teams. Now, I know that there's teams that we'll talk about later that have three guys that are making well over $20 million. But I think it's a little bit of a firing back, if I could use the pun and stretch the analogy a little bit, with Troy Weaver maybe tired of a little bit of national stuff and wanted to get some headlines out there and show that he is not messing around and he's ready to go. And I think Pistons fans appreciate that. Maybe the every individual move isn't loved, or maybe it is by a lot of folks, but you appreciate the not being gun shy, and not your clip will not be, or will, your my clip will be empty. So he's going to fire his bullets, as he certainly did. But Brian, the other talk of Pistons, and I kind of avoided it on Thursday's show, it's kind of overwhelming the Twitter feeds during the game against the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's Sekou Doumbouya gets the DNP on Wednesday night. And that's just coming off of two games over the weekend, Friday and Sunday, where he played, I believe, 5 minutes in each of those as well. One short stretch in each of those games. So we're talking about the first round pick from last season, a young guy who you could argue needs the on-court minutes. But, you know, a lot of the folks that are defending Dwayne Casey's handling of it these days also talking about how you develop in practice, you earn the minutes. The age-old argument. This is like Christian Wood part two once again. And I was the one who was defending Dwayne Casey all of last year, saying that this is how you develop a player, especially a guy with a checkered past. And that's Christian Wood, not Sekou, because he's a young guy that we believe the best in. And we don't know, have any evidence to the contrary, that he's not doing anything that he shouldn't be doing, or he's giving maximum effort off the court. He lost the weight this offseason, so that's obviously the one really good sign we have about him. As Brian, you're following this team hyper closely this year, as opposed to maybe these last several years, what's your take as a newly insider, but also formerly outsider, about what's going on here with Dwayne and Sekou, and how you kind of read what the coach versus young player mind games are kind of going on right now?
I think the first thing we need to do is draw the parallel between the two things we first talked about. Troy Weaver just made a statement that he's aggressive. He's always been aggressive ever since he was swimming as a child, or deciding where he's sitting on a roller coaster, or how many shots to shoot at something or body. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Has Troy Weaver killed a man? I don't know. It's hard to say right now. Troy Weaver's three biggest decisions as the Pistons general manager in the infancy of this era as a Pistons general manager are coming up in the next 18 months. My hot take, I guess, if you want to call it that, is that this incantation of the Pistons at their most competitive level, whether that's competing for Eastern Conference crowns, championships, whatever that is, the best player on that team is not on this roster yet.
Sure.
So the biggest decision that I think Troy Weaver has to make is whether that person is going to be acquired in next year's draft or through some offseason acquisitions, whatever they may be. The second decision I think that needs to happen over the next 18 months is, what do you do with Sekou? And you brought up that It's tough to say because Dwayne Casey and Sekou, neither of those guys are Dwayne Casey or are Troy Weaver's guys.
Right.
Those guys were inherited by Troy Weaver. So there hasn't been a ton of indication either way. I think if you went back through the quotes of Troy Weaver, you'd find a level of support for both of those people, Casey, mm-hmm. and whether that's full throated or not, I'm not sure. I'd have to go through all the quotes, but at the end of the day, those are not Troy Weaver guys. So, and those are the two next two biggest decisions is what to do with Sekou. This guy was your first round pick last year. He's 20 years old. He seems to have done the things in the offseason that he was at least publicly criticized for.
Very
publicly by the coaching. Yeah, by the coaching staff, and has remedied those. Yet he's still not getting the minutes in the rotation that as Pistons fans, we would hope he would get. Mm-hmm. So there's either a disconnect between Troy Weaver in the front office and Coach Casey and the coaching staff, or Coach Casey and the coaching staff and Sekou Doumbouya. Something there either isn't being communicated properly or isn't being received as properly as the level ahead of it has been dictating. So what Troy Weaver looks like he's going to have to make a decision on is Sekou or Coach Casey. That's going to be what I think the decision that Troy Weaver is going to have to make. Right now, financially, Coach Casey is the bigger investment.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longer time, as far as guaranteed contract length. Now, we don't know. We spoke beforehand about we're not as publicly aware as the head coaches' guarantees and contracts as we are players. Mm-hmm. But right now, it looks like these two guys can't coexist. And we saw Christian Wood leaving the offseason. Mm-hmm. And everything I've read or can ascertain from the situation is Christian Wood did not want to be here. Whether it was because the franchise doesn't look like that in the next foreseeable future anyway are going to be a winning franchise, or the relationship between him and Coach Casey was just so fractured that it couldn't be repaired in the short time that Troy Weaver could have had to help mediate some of that, or in the year plus that Christian Wood and Dwayne Casey tried to coexist here. Now, I'm not placing the blame on either party because we don't have that insider knowledge. Christian Wood could be upset with the way that Coach Casey handled his development, and Coach Casey could have handled the development correctly. Those two things can be true at the same time, mm-hmm. because, you know, anybody who, you know, has a, you know, any familial relationship or a fatherly relationship knows that at times you're going to be upset at the person who's developing you, for lack of a better term. But they can also be doing their job correctly, and you don't realize that for years down the road, which may be the case here. So, again, I think this, you know, these two topics that we're talking about between Troy Weaver, Casey, Christian Wood, Sekou, they're all very intricately intertwined as to how Coach Casey communicates his plan to these younger players that have a high ceiling of talent, plus how aggressive Troy Weaver is going to be at trying to turn this ship, and if Sekou is a part of his plan for the future, and if Coach Casey is a part of his plan for the future. So I think these next 18 months, I mean, you could probably say that about any 18 months is a long time. This next year and a half that Troy Weaver has at the head of the Pistons is going to really dictate the next 5 or 6 years, because, you know, what kind of talent does he think Sekou can become? what is he going to do in this offseason with draft picks, with, you know, other extenuating circumstances that I have to deal with? Killian Hayes, who was your top draft pick, is basically a wash for this year, is basically going to be a rookie coming in next year. So you're going to be having to develop two, hopefully and potentially, franchise changing talents at the same time. And is Coach Casey the guy to do that in Troy Weaver's eyes? So we're going to see if Troy Weaver's going to be able to walk the walk, because he chose to talk the talk today with this quote. And it'll be interesting to see how he decides to handle those situations.
Yeah. Do we have a repeat here of Christian Wood and Sekou here, part one and part two, and being a difference that Dwayne Casey was probably the most powerful person in this organization last year, especially in year two of a 5-year contract. And like you alluded to, $7 million per year over those 5 years. But a lot of times coaches have buyouts in that fifth year or non-guaranteed in those last years. We're not privy to those public details like we are with players. So we don't really know what that fifth year looks like. It could be a really easy out for the Pistons. But now Troy Weaver is obviously the man kind of in charge of this team. And he'll let you know that with his analogies, letting you know who's running the show here with the Detroit Pistons. And I don't know. We're probably reading way too much into it to say that, like, hey, you know, better listen up to what I think should be happening. But, the fans were bellyaching a lot through, like, two games. I remember it was almost, like, comically weird that Isaiah Stewart didn't play through two games. Sadiq Bey wasn't playing a lot. And those guys basically immediately started playing. And Sadiq Bey, his case, like, a lot. So maybe the fans bellyaching about Sekou will result, because Casey said great things about him today. I'm really interested to see really what his minutes look like going forward, even in the near term, and just to see how it all kind of works out. But yes, as the world turns with the Pistons, you wouldn't think that a 2-9 team would be super interesting to look at. But with how social media goes and how daily podcasts go and how the egos and personalities of the NBA go, young guys compared to veteran guys compared to their bosses, just a lot swirling, even with this kind of vanilla team here early on in the season. But up next, a team that is not vanilla now has three of the biggest stars in the NBA. How will that work out? That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and one of the most fun betting weekends of the year is coming up, and I am here for it. The NFL playoffs head into the divisional round, and I couldn't be more excited. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. How do this weekend's money lines look? The safest bet is the Kansas City Chiefs at -500 against the Browns on Sunday, who are the biggest underdog at +395. The Packers are -300 against the Rams, who are +350 on Saturday. Double dipping on that first day of action leaves you deciding between the -146 Bills hosting the +126 Ravens. And rounding out the weekend is the Saints at -159 playing host to Tampa Bay at +139 on Sunday evening. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, as much as we enjoyed the Pistons drama this week with Sekou and whoever Troy Weaver was emptying the clip into, the real news this week in the NBA, and I'm sorry to the Pistons, I don't think they really registered a blip on the NBA radar, but the big news on Wednesday was the, at long last, James Harden trade, as he was the latest disgruntled superstar to get moved, and it turned into a huge one. And speaking of emptying the clip, the Brooklyn Nets emptied out all the draft picks, all the pick swaps, a lot of their assets that they had, including Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, Torian Prince, a four-team deal. James Harden ending up with the Brooklyn Nets, Caris LeVert of the University of Michigan going to the Indiana Pacers, Victor Oladipo in turn gets shuffled to the Houston Rockets. It's now Christian Wood's team down in Houston with Vic Oladipo whenever he does show up. Christian Wood, by the way, 27-15 on TNT in a big win over the San Antonio Spurs, and had a little exchange with Shaq after the game, apparently, too. So interesting one there. But Brian, it's hard to digest to me. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, if he ever surfaces once again, James Harden, we know that he's going to stay close to surfaces with the weight that he's put on, apparently, this offseason. An overwhelming amount of talent. I mean, throw Durant into that mix. Those are three of the most offensively gifted players of this generation. And I don't mean like in the top 15. I mean like in the top six or seven of like the guys right now in the NBA. They're right there. How does this work out? How does this whole thing coexist down in Brooklyn?
Well, ultimately, my favorite part of this trade is going to be how the Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant related throuple breaks up, because that's going to be epic. Whether that's a month down the road, whether that's 3 months down the road, whether that's 10 years down the road, those three personalities together are going to, or are a powder keg. Like I said, those three are living in a powder keg and giving off sparks, a little Bonnie Tyler reference for you. Is cross demographics, but I think that's going to be the most interesting part of this. Now, from Brooklyn's standpoint, you've got to empty the clip, unload the kitchen sink. Talents like this don't become available very often in the NBA. It's kind of, you know, it's why I didn't get upset at Stan Van Gundy when he acquired Blake Griffin. It's these guys don't become available in trades. First of all, the amount of power the NBA players have individually is astounding to me, and I think a lot of credit needs to be laid at LeBron James' feet for that. But what I think this is going to work, how I think this is going to work out, is that Brooklyn becomes automatically the most talented team in the Eastern Conference, and moving forward. Whether that turns into a conference win, I don't know, because I don't think Miami was the most talented team in the conference last year, and they won the conference championship. But I think what this does is it makes Pistons' job harder. I mean, it makes, you know, this hurdle a little more insurmountable. We've got Giannis in the division for 6 years here at this point. Now we've got to deal with a team out in Brooklyn that looks as talented as any team since the, you know, mid-2000s Heat at this point. So it doesn't excite me as a Pistons fan to welcome another superstar to the Eastern Conference, but what it does to me as a basketball fan makes me realize that there needs to be some kind of machination in the NBA that doesn't allow top elite level players like this to be able to triple up. I think there needs to be another level of, whether you want to call it super max type contracts, that is available to the elite of the elite. I'm talking about LeBron James and Anthony Davis's, the James Hardens, the Kevin Durant's, the Luka Doncic's, the Giannis's, obviously, that
Bruce Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. And that defensive stalwart, but that needs to be available to them so that you can't have three guys like this match up, because this isn't, I'm sorry, it is good for the NBA. Anytime you can get New York and LA, most likely in the finals in one of the next 2 or 3 years, that's a success from Adam Silver's point. But teams here in Detroit, in Brooklyn, in Boston, in Denver, in Dallas, this isn't good for the competitive nature of the NBA. And I think to mitigate that, there needs to be another level of salary for your top tier talent, so that somebody like Kevin Durant can team up with another, maybe not elite tier, but one of these max type player contracts, but can't team up with two of these guys. I mean, James Harden and Kevin Durant, each on their own, are underpaid right now in the NBA. The value they bring to a franchise is in the hundreds of millions of dollars per year. if you factor in play, you know, home playoff games, playoff, you know, playoff game, postseason runs in general, the amount of business they're bringing in and ticket sales to the arena, jersey sales, bars and restaurants around the arena, LeBron James, AD, Giannis, James Harden, Kevin Durant, these guys add hundreds of millions of dollars for two. And, you know, Kyrie's on the outskirts of that level, I think. But for three of these guys to be able to team up just for the competitive nature of this league, is it's not great. Now, again, if I'm Adam Silver, this is a big win for the NBA because I get a New York team and an LA team most likely in the finals in the next 2 years. But if I'm a fan of one of the other 28 franchises in the NBA, this hasn't been a good venture for the NBA to take on.
Yeah, it's coming off of the Giannis extension, and where we all felt so good about it, saving these middle tier teams or smaller tier markets out there. And then this is kind of the old problem exacerbating itself with the big three. But like you said, it does make this year's playoffs interesting. It potentially makes a really interesting finals. And then, you know, maybe Giannis and the Bucks get it together. They've got Drew Holiday now. So maybe the Eastern Conference Finals turns into something compelling, given that everyone's healthy. But, man, it's going to be – I think it was seven active players have a 29% usage rate right now in the NBA, and these are three of them. So they're going to be all on the same team. So the old one ball and how many balls, you know, how many balls they need to go around kind of thing, all those old jokes. It's interesting because – you know, we've seen big threes in the past and how Chris Bosh played the defensive rebounding type of guy and Kevin Love kind of fell to the side in Cleveland at times. But no, this is not that. These are three guys that need the ball in their hands. These are three guys that are not used to their defense. I know Durant's had stretches where he's a good defensive player, but a little bit older now, coming off the big injury as well. You don't really foresee him being an all defensive type player this year, but how do these talents meld together is going to be really, I think, obviously the short term, but really the question of the year. I think that the Lakers right now are just the odds on favorite going before this trade. I think they still are the favorites, but maybe not as resoundingly so. So yeah, this makes it interesting. And for me personally, I think that this is like a villain team. I'm going to be rooting against this team big time. That said, I definitely expect this team to win the Eastern Conference and to go to the NBA Finals. I'd still take the Lakers right now in a seven-game series, but I'm already excited to watch the playoffs and to see these teams mix it up. So I think good for this season in terms of the playoff drama, but like you said, man, a tough one for the small markets and middle markets to swallow. And if it wasn't for Giannis making us all kind of feel good about those kind of situations, this might be a little bit of a dark day in the NBA, but I think it's fun and we'll see how it all kind of shakes out in the future. But up next, speaking of future, Brian's going to tell us about the weekend. Then he's going to tell us about the long-term future and what players you should be watching on the college scene. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Go behind the scenes of the game you love and get all sides of the story with Rejecting the Screen podcast. Each week, Noah Kozloff and Adam Stanko get personal while interviewing the players, coaches, media members, all the people who make the NBA happen. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen wherever you get your podcast. Brother Brian, tell us about the Pistons weekend.
This is your Pistons game preview. The 2-9 Pistons are taking their talents down to South Beach with a pair of games against the defending Eastern Conference champion, Miami Heat. The Heat have gotten off to a slow start this year and currently stand at 4-6 and are on a two-game losing streak after dropping two in Philadelphia to the 76ers. The Heat are coached by Eric Spoelstra, who is in his 13th season coaching the Heat, the second longest tenured coach in the league behind Greg Popovich with the Spurs. Coach Spoelstra has taken to the Heat to the playoffs in 9 of his 12 seasons, including 5 trips to the NBA Finals, including last year. The Heat are emotionally led by Mercurial star Jimmy Butler, who averages 16 points per game, over 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals per night. On the scoring front, Miami is led by second-year player and bubble breakout sensation Tyler Hero, who is averaging close to 18 a night and is trailed closely by another youngster in Bam Adebayo, who brings a team-leading 9 rebounds a night to go along with his 17 points. Goran Dragic, former Michigan Michigan Wolverine Duncan Robinson and Kelly Olynyk lead the rest of the diverse scoring options for the Heat. While several players for the Heat, such as Butler, Adebayo, and former Piston Avery Bradley, haven't played recently due to league COVID protocols, they hope to have most, if not all, of these players back for at least one or both of the games against the Pistons. The Pistons are hoping to avoid a third straight loss both in the season and to the hands of the Heat, who beat the Pistons in their only matchup last year. The Pistons are 7-4 against the betonline.ag spread, and while the betting information for the game hasn't been released, at the time of the recording, follow Locked On Pistons on Twitter for updates when the lines open. Saturday's game tips at 8 p.m. and Monday's Martin Luther King matinee is at 3 p.m. with both games on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket. This has been your Pistons game preview.
So two in Miami on Saturday and Monday, and then Wednesday against the Atlanta Hawks on the road before the Pistons return home for a three-game stretch. Next weekend, back-to-backs against Houston and Christian Wood, and then Philadelphia for a pair of the weekend, the 23rd and the 25th, Saturday and Monday. So the schedule does not relent for the Detroit Pistons. Their one realistic win was the game that got postponed with the Washington Wizards. But, Brian, what about the college scene? We know that we're watching draft prospects right now. We're thinking about Cade Cunningham. We're thinking about those guys. But who should Pistons fans be focusing on this weekend?
Well, we've got a Big 12 matchup this weekend to watch. Earlier this year, we had Gonzaga at Baylor canceled because of COVID, so we missed out on seeing Baylor. So we're going to kind of circle back to them and their top NBA prospect, Jared Butler. Not to even mention the fact that Baylor is undefeated and ranked number 2 in the country at this point, but the 6'3", 195-pound junior guard, Jared Butler is leading Baylor with over 16 points a night. He's also dishing about 6 assists a game as well. He's looking to be drafted in the late lottery, back end of the first round at this point. Butler, he does shoot 50% from the floor and 43% from beyond the arc. So those are things that could definitely interest Pistons fans, as the Detroit has become one of the worst shooting teams in the league so far this year. But they're going to be taking on Coach Chris Beard's number 15 Texas Tech Red Raiders. Beard has elevated this program. It's heavily predicated on defense, so it's going to be a good matchup to see Butler against some of this more intense defense that the college game has to offer. So this is a tilt that should interest some people. It's the number 2 ranked 11-0 Baylor Bears versus the number 15 Texas Tech Red Raiders on Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. on ESPN.
Yeah, so interesting from the pro perspective and also from the college perspective. It's mid-January. We're also getting ready for the NCAA tournament here that we played all in Indianapolis. Of course, the Michigan Wolverines will certainly be in the tournament, and Michigan State, I would imagine they'll sneak in too, as they'll right the ship as Tom Izzo usually does. But yeah, the Baylor, like you said, up against the Texas Tech team, and Michigan State fans both know all about Texas Tech, as they were both bounced by the Red Raiders in that tournament where they reached the finals and lost to Virginia there. So plenty on display on the college football scene, but yeah, that's our college basketball scene. But that's gets you ready for the NBA draft, like you mentioned with Butler there, but also let you know about what's going on with college basketball in March Madness as well. So a lot of basketball this weekend. Hopefully the COVID situation with the NBA stays at bay as much as possible. We actually do see some Pistons games this weekend and going forward, although we know the possibility exists that this whole thing could get shut down really at any moment, and we'll hopefully kind of trudge along with it here with you guys on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that'll do it for our show. We are going to skip Monday because we've got that 3 o'clock Martin Luther King matinee game. So not a lot of shelf life there for a Monday podcast in that time. So we'll come back with a Tuesday show and fill you up with episodes all next week. But this is your host, Matt Shook. He is Brother Brian. That wraps up this week and this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Juwan Howard is Pistons coach.